So we thank you, Lord God, for this beautiful day, this wonderful celebration. We ask you to speak to our hearts, to reveal to us your inner desire for each one to be drawn into union with you. We praise you and bless you, Lord, that you speak your word in our midst. The mystery of the Holy Trinity. We say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We do it often to remind ourselves that we have been baptized into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Down through the ages, maybe the mystery has in some ways been turned into a problem that perplexes us, and we feel we have to work God out, three in one, one and three. It becomes a puzzle that we have to somehow or other explain. I remember when I was in primary school, an Irish sister said, "It's easy to understand the Trinity," and she drew a shamrock on the board. And she said, there, she said, three leaves and one shamrock. Three in one. That's the Trinity. Well, it's not as simple as that. God is simple. But of course, what Sister had forgotten is that God is not, the Trinity is not three parts of the one, but rather the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. One nature, three persons. I haven't helped you understand it any better. St. Augustine, before I tell you about St. Augustine, I'll tell you about my attempt when I was giving catechism classes up there in Garran, and there was one young guy who was looking very perplexed as I was trying to explain the Trinity. And in fact, he started to go into contortions. And I said, "What's wrong?" He came from another culture and was still working on his English. He said, "You are breaking my head." By that, I think he meant he had a headache from having to think too hard about the Trinity. But St. Augustine really worked hard on that. And as he was beginning the work on his treatise on the Trinity, he was walking by the seaside and he saw a little boy with a bucket and he was getting water from the sea, carrying it across in his little bucket and putting it into a hole in the sand that he'd made. And you go back and get some more. St. Augustine asked him, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm going to fill up that little hole with all the ocean, put it into this hole." And Augustine said, "That's impossible." And little boy, who actually was an angel, said to him, "And so is it impossible for you to contain in your little brain the ocean of the Trinity, the immense ocean of God, so infinite and so incomprehensible, so beyond our grasp. And here you are trying to fit it all into your little brain." St. Augustine went on and wrote his treatise, but he every now and then stopped and sort of said, "It's just like a drop of water, and we're dealing here with an ocean." Any attempt that we have to try and explain. So we won't go down that track tonight, but rather, let's open our hearts to the mystery. Because this, any mystery of faith, it's not so much for us to try and grasp it, for our poor intellects, as much to allow ourselves to be grasped by it. To allow ourselves, in this case, to be grasped by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Allow ourselves to be taken up into the mystery and to know him from within with the heart of faith that he gives to us. He has revealed himself to us. We heard it, did we not, in the gospel. God loved the world so much, that's God the Father, loved the world so much that he gave us his only Son. In Romans it sort of says, he did not spare his only Son, but gave him up for us all. And if with that sort of generous love that he's had and shown for us there, if we experience that, then we know that he'd hold nothing back from us. He is so madly in love with us that he gave himself completely for our sake. And the Son so loved us that he hung on the cross for our sake, shedding the last drop of his human blood for you and for me, that we would be set free from the power of sin and death and give a new life in him. And when the Son returned to the Father who lifted him up in resurrection, as he promised, he sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of fire, to sanctify us and to dwell within us. Paul says, the Holy Spirit is the love of God poured out into our hearts. How much God has loved. What we celebrate tonight is the mystery of God's immense love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in such a wonderful way coming to us so that we can come into them, so that we can be drawn back into this wonderful life of God, that we can be drawn into a participation in the very nature of God himself, that we can be drawn into participation in love because God is love. And so here in this Eucharist, you'll notice all the prayers are addressed to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit, because that's how we go back to God. That's how we go to him. The Holy Spirit dwelling within us opens the heart so that we begin to love God and draws us forth into God. The Holy Spirit is constantly at work within us, enabling us to call Jesus Lord. Paul says we cannot say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit reveals to us the truth of who Jesus is and opens it up to us, a deep union in Christ, so that we come alive in a new way because Christ is our brother, our friend. Christ is our Savior, our Lord. We come alive because we know him, not just have heard about him, but we know him. And then Christ opens up the door to the Father. The Holy Spirit also within us, because of our baptism, enables us to call God Abba, Daddy, Father. So we have a life with the Father who is so, as we found in the first reading, so tender, so merciful, so kind, so forgiving, so gentle and faithful. God, come to draw us into himself. And so we know the Father. Jesus said, no one can come to the Father except through me. So we go to the Father through Jesus. So to have seen me is to have seen the Father, Jesus said. And he said that God is invisible, the Father is invisible, but the only one who knows him really is the Son, who is nearest to the Father's heart, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So we who receive the Son in this Eucharist, when we receive him into ourselves, we're taken into the life of the Trinity. the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit more deeply, who dwell within us and want to us to participate fully in the life they have as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful mystery that we celebrate, and that we're drawn into the mystery of God's love. And allow it to happen. You see, it's a drawing. God comes to draw us into himself. This is my understanding of grace. He draws us into his life. It's like a magnet. When a magnet has iron filings, you know, the magnetic love of God, the iron filings are just drawn. They're galvanized into action and they come right up into the magnet. And that's how God acts with us. He draws us into himself. And ultimately, we've been drawn finally into the communion of saints in heaven. But we have heaven now. Elizabeth of the Trinity reminds us of that when she says that heaven is within us because God is within us. And we're drawn into union with him. And so she says, I go into myself and I find there in the depths of my very soul the Trinity. And I plunge into the depth of this infinite mystery, this ocean of God's love. And just picking up that image of the ocean again, there's a Flemish mystic, Jan Roosbroek, who uses it, and he says that God is like an ocean of love. And just as the ocean has the tide that comes in and goes out, God is like that, that the love of God comes in upon us like the tide. And washes over us. And then, when it's the right time, the love of God moves us out into the depth of this ocean, this God himself. But he says, there are some who are like a boat that is so moored and stuck that when the tide comes in, the boat bobs up and down and gets some movement. But it's moored so tightly from attachments that it has that it can't move out into the deep. But there are others, though, that are free, and they allow themselves to be drawn out by this tide of God's love into the mystery of the depth of God himself. So let's loosen our moorings and allow the wonderful tide of God's love to draw your heart tonight in this Eucharist. And draw you more deeply into the mystery of God. Draw you more deeply into this wonderful, joyful union. The Blessed Virgin Mary knew this. With Christ within her womb and with the Spirit upon her and within her, she's able to cry out with great joy, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior because he's looked on the lowliness of his handmaid. That's what we want to be able to do, to rejoice and give praise to God because he has looked upon us in our lowliness and our weakness. He's bestowed upon us grace upon grace, glory upon glory. He's given us his own very life within us. And drawn us into union with him. So yes, long for and yearn for a deeper experience of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Personally, intimately, deeply. But remember, there's more on offer than that. Because it's not only a yearning within us for intimacy with God. But God has made us in his image so that we'll be relational like him. God has made us in his image so that I experience myself as being incomplete if I'm not for the other. I experience myself as being not as I'm truly made to be, unless I'm in communion with others. That's how God has made me. That's how he has made you too. If I fall into selfishness and self-centeredness, if I fall into jealousy and envy, or if we fall into factions and fighting one another and all of that, then we have failed to be truly in the image of God. Because God is three persons in unity, interdependent and mutually in their self-giving love for one another. And to the degree that God touches our hearts, he will bring us into communion with one another. And we'll know a new unity with all men and women. We will have a special communion with those who have been baptized into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, those who are in the church. They have a special communion, because the church is a communion in the Spirit. We will have a special communion with those who we know here, because the Lord wants to bring us into a deeper communion with one another, so that we are in face-to-face relationship with one another. Just as the Trinity are in face-to-face relationship with one another, as it were, if you can speak of that way, as God. We too are intended to be brought into that relational unity. Jesus prayed for this, did he not? He said, Father, may they be one, as you and I are one, so that the world will know that you've sent the Son. This will be the sign to the world that God has come, that we've been brought into union, into a communion with one another, that we have hearts that share with others, with one another, that we haven't given into egotism, we haven't given into a selfish, individualistic way of life. We've been drawn into the Trinity in such a way that our hearts now are given for others. Just as the Father was given for the Son, as the Son is given for the Father, as the Holy Spirit is the very giving of God outside of God for all men and women. We want to be giving too, under the power of that same Holy Spirit. You know, when you read in the scriptures, you see the Son is always glorifying the Father. You see, the Father is always glorifying the Son. You see, the Holy Spirit is always glorifying the Father and the Son. It's a selfless, self-emptying action on the part of each of the persons for the sake of the unity. And we too must be caught up in this wonderful act of God, that we too will be formed into a communion with one another in him and by his power. We too will allow our petty jealousies to be overcome, the factions that we might tend to get into, or the prejudices that we might have towards others, or our envy that we have that we feel we're being overshadowed by someone else's glory, or the bitterness in our heart where we won't repent and forgive somebody. That we'll overcome those things, especially on this Trinity Sunday, that we'll allow ourselves to be brought into a deeper communion with one another in God. That's his purpose. That's why he has come. And that's what this Eucharist is about. When we come up to the Eucharist and we hold out our hand to receive the body of the Lord, we say, Amen. Amen, yes, to the body of Christ, truly, really, and substantially there, present for us. But also, amen to the body of Christ here, the brothers and sisters gathered. Amen to the body of Christ throughout the world, of all the baptized. Amen to the communion I have with all the brothers and sisters in Christ. I say amen. And I worship the Lord, the living God, and give him thanks and praise that he brings us into communion with one another. We find after the consecration, we pray, Come, Holy Spirit, Anoint us and make us one. We ask the Spirit to make us one. So let's then, as we come into this Eucharist, come hungry for God. Come ready for a new infusion of His Spirit in a way that will open us up to a deeper heart response and a deeper knowledge of who Jesus is and a deeper, wonderful gifting of the Father's love. Then also, let's come aware that He wants to bring us into communion with one another. He wants to make us into a fellowship where we have all the barriers down and we're already beginning to experience something of what it's going to be like in heaven forever, the communion of saints. You are the saints. You already are called the saints in Scripture. We together are meant to be in that fellowship with one another and to find ways to deepen that communion with one another. And let us eat of the body of Christ, as St. Augustine says tonight, let us eat of the body of Christ so that we may become more the body of Christ. Let us enter into the communion here with Christ and in Christ by the power of the Spirit. Let us enter into that communion so that we will be more deeply in communion with one another. Let our hearts open to God. Come, Holy Spirit, draw us more deeply into the heart of Jesus, your Son, and in and through Jesus to the life of the Father. May we know the tender mercy of our living God. May we always be touched deeply in the deepest place of who we are by the grace of God. And may we come more deeply to be people who are thinking beyond ourselves, not selfishly grabbing for things in our life, but always self-emptying towards the other. May we become more like you, God, by receiving you in this Eucharist. Bless his name.